I'm Christian Rapson, editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks. I'm delighted that Julian is finally free and was able to walk out on the tarmac in Australia to reunite with his family, to see them for the first time as a free man, Stella and the boys. I think it's an extremely important victory and a joyous moment. And I think a huge danger for journalism has been averted. Of course, there are residues that remain, that because formally, of course, he was sentenced to prison time. And for the first time in United States history, a man is convicted for practicing journalism where it's seen a violation on the basis of the Espionage Act. This is something that American journalists and other journalists around the world need to address and swipe that off the slate. The first step would be, of course, to fight for a pardon of Julian by the president, the current one or the incoming one, and also to rally for changes in the legislative system in the United States to amend something like this, so something like this would not happen in the future. As Julian did to mention to the judge in Saipan, where he did enter his plea, that he thought that what he had done was firmly within the First Amendment rights, but he believed that there was a contradiction between the Espionage Act and the First Amendment. So this is a thing for others to take now, a battle for others to fight. But we are, of course, very joyful that he is a free man, finally.
Yeah, so the incarceration of Julian, the persecution of Julian, is quite clearly a kind of, it's almost like an act of war, of information war, against one of the most important journalist editors in the world. I mean, we don't have to spend too long to go through some of the amazing achievements of WikiLeaks and the failures of the mainstream press. So having an important outlet, having its editor in jail, is obviously there's a lot of things we don't know that we would have known and we should know if Julian had been at his job. Can you just give us an idea of what WikiLeaks is still able to achieve? Because we've got these two horrific global conflicts going on, both, of course, fueled by the United States at the end of the day, which is in Gaza and Ukraine.
Well, I totally agree with you that the WikiLeaks ideals and the WikiLeaks model is needed now more than ever. It was needed in the past, but now we are living in a world in such a state that we need more of WikiLeaks, whether it's under the trademark of WikiLeaks or whether others take up the banner and the short and fights for their journalistic existence on their own platforms, which I hope to and I would encourage. You're referring to is what will happen to Julian, what will happen to WikiLeaks. That we'll have to give him a little time before I can sit down with him and have a discussion of how we take this into the future. He needs the time to recover. He needs the time to get his bearings. But I can assure you that this model, important model, has not vanished. That's for sure.
What about recent revelations from WikiLeaks under your editorship? Can you just talk a little bit about some of the things that the mass media is not reporting that you are?
For the last 2 months and even up to 2 years, there has been very quiet in publishing front for the very reason that our small team has put all our focus on the freedom battle for Julian Assange. Because of its utmost importance, because this was creating an existential threat for journalism. And if we as journalists, if we cannot fight for our existence and fight for our right to our job, we are worthless. So that was the primary fight. But I can assure you that nothing was destroyed. And if you look into the future, Nothing in the plea limits what Julian Assange can do as a free man on the front, journalistic front, if he chooses so. So that is an important thing, but we have to give him space and the rest of us, so to speak, as well, to just ponder what kind of a new reality emerges for us.
Now, people like Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, there must be a number of them in the system wanting to leak. Now, there will also be obviously pressure on them not to leak, not to blow the whistle. And I just wonder, have you got any advice for those in the system who want to leak material in order to get it published out there, how they can safely do that without incriminating themselves? It's rather difficult. There must be, you know, enormous amounts of surveillance and pressure on people to blow the whistle. And of course, we in the Bristol area, we've got Catherine Gunn, who blew the whistle on the Iraq war, which actually led to the United Nations refusing to endorse the war. So these are quite important people. And the attitude of the military seems to be, we want to try and give as many tasks as possible to AI in order to cut human beings out of the system so they don't leak. So how should people leak if they want to leak? Is it still possible?
It is still possible, but it is becoming increasingly serious because the attempt to surveil on the inside is increasing, creating all kinds of barriers for people to securely transmit information. There are still ways and means that people can actually go to on that front. And the willingness, of course, is there. We know that. We feel that. You mentioned Catherine Gunn, who is an extremely important whistleblower, and I've been in contact with her. There are brave people out there inside the system who do see injustice, who do feel the need to blow the whistle, who do understand that the people have a right to know. But we are dealing with forces who are of the opposite opinion, who think that we shouldn't know, that we need to be kept in darkness. And so we are fighting a big fight on many fronts. It is also a discussion that needs to take place in our society, what kind of world we want to live in. So it's a big question we are dealing with, and people need to start waking up to that reality, how things are enclosing, the walls are closing in on us, and there are cameras on all those walls. This is a reality that we have to take on and start discussing in earnest and on a serious note, because it's a grave situation. You have totalitarian systems which are on the surface, but there is also a totalitarian tendency in our society within the system, and that needs to be addressed.
Practically, is it more sensible to go online and leak material, or do you think maybe taking an old-fashioned CD with the material and a memory disk and handing it to a journalist?
People need to be very, very wary of methods that can be taken to actually trace documents, all kinds of electronic hidden fingerprints that are put in place. They are in printers now, which has led to a disclosure of an IDing of whistleblowers. This is a tough world to be a whistleblower in, so to speak. But so people need to do their research and find the most secure way to secure their interest if they want to take these steps. There are ways, but people need to do a very thorough research before they do so.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's a hell of a task. I wonder whether maybe the best thing to do is just to literally walk out of the building, get in front of a camera, or go onto TikTok and just speak about what you want to blow the whistle about, rather than trying, you know, to smuggle documents out. What do you think?
Well, you are then talking basically about some active resistance by the general public against the very few, and against the elite, against those who are holding power and do not want you as an ordinary citizen to interact and disturb that that cozy setup. And I think that is a good idea. People need to mobilize. We have seen it in recent times that the strongest method of resistance is not liking something on social media or signing an electronic petition. It is actually the old-fashioned way of showing up in numbers, to stand shoulder to shoulder in unity and raise your voice and raise your fist. That is still, even though we might think this is a primitive manner, we still live in the era where this is the most effective way to sway power onto a more just path. So I would encourage that, so to speak. For individuals who want to go out and have their voice heard, they have a right to do that. And the more people do it, the more normal practice it is. And if you flood the system with the voices who are objecting to wrongdoing and injustice, that is another method to basically change the world. But I'm flooded with the thought at this moment that Julian's freedom, Julian's justice in the end did not come just by political interference on the top or by lawyers negotiating. It happened because people showed that they did care. They showed up in large numbers all over the world. Very impressively, they did care. They showed up early in the morning for vigils, for demanding access to court in the proceedings, and et cetera, et cetera. That is the impressive afterthought I have that led to this important moment. So thanks to the people who came together in power and moved mountains.
Finally, Julian's well known for his war leaks, but what about financial leaks? These are also extremely important, it seems to me. We've got a financial system which is funneling more and more wealth to the super rich.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's a front that needs to be addressed, and it has been the task for WikiLeaks before, even though people have noticed it less. There has been bank leaks. There have been leaks from corporate power in the past. There have been environmental leaks, so to speak, exposing corrupt practices in that field. It has always been the question of addressing leaks from those in power to expose corrupt power. And we don't find them just on the battlefield in the ordinary sense, but we also find them on the corporate level, as well as on the political level, of course.
Okay, Christian Hrannarsson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.